Chapter 10. When Languages Were Changed. This chapter is based on Genesis 9, verse 25 to 27, 11, 1 to 9. To repeople the desolate earth, God had preserved but one family, the household of Noah. To him he declared, "Thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Genesis 7, verse 1. Yet in the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, were foreshadowed the character of their posterity. Noah, speaking by divine inspiration, foretold the history of the three great races to spring from these fathers of mankind. Tracing the descendants of Ham through the son rather than the father, he declared, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." The unnatural crime of Ham revealed the vileness of his character. These evil characteristics were perpetuated in Canaan and his posterity. On the other hand, the reverence manifested by Shem and Japheth for divine statutes promised a brighter future for their descendants. Concerning these sons, it was declared, "Blessed be Jehovah, God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." The line of Shem was to be that of the chosen people. From him would descend Abraham and the people of Israel, through whom Christ was to come. And Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. In the blessings of the gospel, the descendants of Japheth were especially to share. The posterity of Canaan descended to the most degrading forms of heathenism. Though the prophetic curse had doomed them to slavery, God bore with their corruption until they passed the limits of divine forbearance. Then they became bondmen to the descendants of Shem and Japheth. The prophecy of Noah did not fix the character and destiny of his sons, but it showed what would be the result of the course they had chosen and the character they had developed. As a rule, children inherit the dispositions and tendencies of their parents and imitate their example. Thus, the vileness and irreverence of Ham were reproduced in his posterity, bringing a curse upon them for many generations. On the other hand, how richly rewarded was Shem's respect for his father, and what an illustrious line of holy men appears in his posterity. For a time, the descendants of Noah continued to dwell among the mountains where the ark had rested. As their numbers increased, apostasy led to division. Those who desired to forget their Creator and cast off the restraint of his law felt a constant annoyance from the teaching and example of their God-fearing associates. After a time, they decided to separate. Accordingly, they journeyed to Shinar on the banks of the Euphrates, attracted by the beauty of the situation and the fertility of the soil. Here they decided to build a city, and in it a tower of such height as should render it the wonder of the world. God had directed men to disperse throughout the earth, but these Babel builders determined to keep their community united and to found a monarchy that should embrace the whole earth. Thus, their city would become the metropolis of a universal empire. Its glory would command the admiration and homage of the world. The magnificent tower, reaching to the heavens, was intended to stand as a monument of the power and wisdom of its builders. The dwellers on the plain of Shinar disbelieved God's covenant that he would not again bring a flood upon the earth. One object in the erection of the tower was to secure their safety in case of another deluge. And as they would be able to ascend to the region of the clouds, they hoped to ascertain the cause of the flood. The whole undertaking was to exalt the pride of its projectors and to turn future generations away from God. When the tower had been partially completed, suddenly the work that had been advancing so prosperously was checked. Angels were sent to bring to naught the purpose of the builders. The tower had reached a lofty height, and men were stationed at different points, each to receive and report to the one next below him the orders for needed material. As messages were passing from one to another, the language was confounded, so that the directions delivered were often the reverse of those that had been given. All work came to a standstill. The builders were wholly unable to account for the strange misunderstandings among them, and in their rage and disappointment, reproached one another. Lightnings from heaven, as an evidence of God's displeasure, broke off the upper portion of the tower and cast it to the ground. God's purpose in changing their language. Up to this time, all men had spoken the same language. Now those that could understand one another's speech united in companies. Some went one way, and some another. The Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. This dispersion was the means of peopling the earth, and thus the Lord's purpose was accomplished through the very means that men had employed to prevent its fulfillment. But at what a loss! It was God's purpose that as men should go forth to different parts of the earth, they should carry with them the light of truth. Noah, the faithful preacher of righteousness, lived for 350 years after the flood, Shem for 500 years. Thus their descendants had opportunity to become acquainted with the requirements of God and the history of his dealings with their fathers. But they had no desire to retain God in their knowledge, and by the confusion of tongues, they were in a great measure shut out from intercourse with those who might have given them light. Satan was seeking to bring contempt upon the sacrificial offerings that prefigured the death of Christ. As the minds of the people were darkened by idolatry, he led them to counterfeit these offerings and sacrifice their own children upon the altars of their gods. As men turned away from God, the divine attributes, justice, purity, and love, were supplanted by oppression, violence, and brutality. The men of Babel had determined to establish a government independent of God. Some among them, however, feared the Lord. For the sake of these faithful ones, the Lord delayed his judgments and gave the people time to reveal their true character. The sons of God labored to turn them from their purpose, but the people were fully united in their heaven-daring undertaking. Had they gone on unchecked, they would have demoralized the world in its infancy. Had this confederacy been permitted, a mighty power would have borne sway to banish righteousness, and with it peace, happiness, and security from the earth. Those that feared the Lord cried unto him to interpose. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. In mercy to the world, he defeated the purpose of the tower builders. In mercy, he confounded their speech, putting a check on their rebellion. God bears long with the perversity of men, giving opportunity for repentance. From time to time, the unseen hand is stretched out to restrain iniquity. Unmistakable evidence is given that the Creator of the universe is the supreme ruler of heaven and earth. None can with impunity defy his power. There are tower builders in our time. Infidels presume to pass sentence upon God's moral government. They despise his law and boast of the sufficiency of human reason. Then, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Today's Tower of Babel. Many turn from the plain teachings of the Bible and build up a creed from human speculations and pleasing fables. They point to their tower as a way to climb up to heaven. Lips of eloquence teach that the transgressor shall not die, that salvation may be secured without obedience to the law of God. If the professed followers of Christ would accept God's standard, it would bring them into unity. But so long as human wisdom is exalted above his holy word, there will be divisions and dissension. The existing confusion of conflicting creeds and sects is fitly represented by the term Babylon, which prophecy applies to the world-loving churches of the last days. See Revelation 14, verse 8, 18, 2. The time of God's investigation is at hand. His sovereign power will be revealed. The works of human pride will be laid low.